Top of the hour, 1 o'clock on the East, 12 o'clock Central. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for tuning in. We talk fantasy football, fantasy baseball, basketball, hockey all year long. Thanks for being part of our show here this afternoon. You heard Chris's update here at the top of the hour. Lots happening, and a lot of players, by the way, big name players left off the American League and National League division rosters. Want to get into that here as well. But of course, we begin tonight in fantasy. It is Thursday Night Football. The Rams are 2.5-point favorites over Seattle in this game tonight with a total of around 54.5. The White Sox begin their series with the Astros today at 4:07 Eastern. The news out of both those teams today is former World Series champ on the side of the Astros. Now on the White Sox, Dallas Keuchel not on the roster for the White Sox going into this series, so they must feel good about the rest of their pitching. Keuchel has not been great. Houston, they acquired Jake Odorizzi, of course. He is not on their roster, too. 4:07 Eastern start. Red Sox will have J.D. Martinez tonight. They take on the Rays. That begins at 8:07 Eastern. And Coastal Carolina visits Arkansas State in college football. And Davis, before we get into some pro football here, would you like to take a guess? Don't look. Hands off the computer. Would you like to take a guess as to the total tonight? You may have seen it already, between Coastal Carolina and Arkansas State in this game this evening.
So I know Coastal Carolina is good. They played against KU, I think 3 weeks ago, and that was a huge total game. And Coastal Carolina was favored by like 26.
They're very good.
I don't know anything about Arkansas State. So I'm going to guess this is like the equivalent of like Alabama playing against Rice or something. I will say the total is 72.
Wow, good guess. 73.5. Very good guess by you.
Wow, look at that.
Good job. Good guess tonight. Yep, Coastal Carolina is playing great. Big favorites tonight against Arkansas State, no doubt about that. Okay, so I guess we could do this real quick to baseball here. We really... You have done so much fantasy football here, but we got 2 minutes. White Sox, Astros, Davis. Who do you like in this series? 5-game series. Who do you got?
I'm on the White Sox here. I mean, I've kind of been a White Sox backer this entire time. I think probably we can say that the Astros are going to have the advantage with pitching. But it just feels like the White Sox lineup is so deep with good hitting. I mean, you know, Gavin Sheets is an above average major league hitter and he bats eighth for them, right? They have Eloy back. They have Louis Robert back. I mean, Yasmani Grandal, when they can slot him in at catcher, how big of an advantage is it to have Yasmani Grandal, who is a good enough hitter to be a DH, playing catcher? And Grandal, by the way, is like, this is not like Gary Sanchez catching. He's a good defensive catcher. Like, he is above average at all of the catching defense stuff. So I actually think that the White Sox are the best team in the American League.
I mean, your favorite manager is also managing the White Sox.
My favorite manager. Yeah.
Tony La Russa tonight. And then, look, we neither of us are happy with the Red Sox beating the Yankees, that's for sure. So let's just do this. How many games do the Rays need to take out the Red Sox? 3, 4, or 5?
I'm going sweep. I'm going 3. They line them up. They knock them down. Very, very, you know, it really ended up playing out pretty perfectly for me. I said the Yankees would make it in the end. I said the Red Sox were overrated, and the Blue Jays didn't make the playoffs despite being in it. So it played out pretty close to our preseason prognostications.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the playoffs are better. The postseason is better with the Yankees in it as opposed to being out of it. But that was just a very weirdly constructed team at the end of the year. Like they at the deadline, they really didn't get a lot of pitching. They just got Gallo and Rizzo. And it's like, let's just get as many bats as possible. And when will teams learn? It doesn't matter how good your offense is once the postseason begins. It's like it just shuts down. And guess what? It's like under city in terms of betting in the postseason. Every game, 5-2, 4-3, 3-1, 2-1. I mean, I don't know why it is like that every year. And then, of course, there's that anomaly game where a lot of runs are scored. But the pitching dominates. The managers pull the pitching early. They put in the bullpen. This is part of it. By the way, is there anyone not named Shane who's pitching in these series? I mean, is it Shane McClanahan starting for the Rays in game one and Shane Baz starting in game two for the Rays? I mean, it's like all of these Shanes are starting for the Rays. I don't know why you even said that. It makes no sense. But all right, so Rays in three, and you got White Sox in, what, five? Going distance?
That one I think probably goes the distance, right? And we get a really good dramatic. We'll get either a really good dramatic like comeback in game four to avoid a sweep, or just a really good game five. I imagine that to me does seem like a pretty good series. Yeah.
Well,
how lucky for the Dodgers, by the way. I mean, the Dodgers, they spend all this money. They end up getting beat out by the Giants. Imagine if their 108 win season comes down and they lose to the Cardinals in the end. I mean, what a bummer that would have been.
And the highest paid player on the team didn't play a single game, right? Trevor Bauer didn't even play for them this year. Crazy stuff, man. I mean, look, the Braves could say the same thing. Left field, Ozuna, center field, Acuna, neither guy playing for them in the postseason. Injuries have just been a big story of this year for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at wide receivers in fantasy. How many targets versus catches they have. Is this something we can look at for the future?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is how important is or are, I don't know the grammar, targets for wide receivers. How important is that for you, that stat?
I mean, very important. I would say probably it's probably the most important thing. Like when I'm thinking about starting guys, I'm thinking about how many targets are they going to get? What kind of targets are they going to get? How much they're playing versus how often they're targeted. You know, you have these guys who play 90% of the snaps and they're targeted at a very low amount. Then you have these guys who, you know, play 60, Rondale Moore, right? Plays about 40% of the snaps, but he gets targeted on like, you know, 10% of the routes that he runs. That's a really big deal. So targets, where the targets are coming from, how far down the field or how close to the line of scrimmage they are, all of those things, you know, thinking about the targets that a player gets is very important to me.
All right, so let's take a look here at targets versus catches, and maybe this will be an indication as to maybe a player or two that you would want to grab because they've gotten the most targets, and there's a huge disparity on how many catches they've actually made this season. So the plus-minus is there. Cooper Kupp has been targeted 46 times. That leads the NFL. He's made 30 of those catches. 16 were left on the field, so that's the plus-minus there. Keenan Allen also has a plus minus of 16, which I think is important because he has not delivered in fantasy yet. 44 targets, 28 catches. Darren Waller had the huge first game of the season where he was targeted a lot. Since then, not as much, but still his disparity is 16, a lot because of the first game of the year. Stephon Diggs, who we've talked about here on the show, 41 targets and only 26 receptions. So there's a 15 spot there. And interestingly enough here, the other 15 is Devontae Parker of the Dolphins, Davis, who's been targeted 32 times and only made 17 catches. So that's a disparity of 15. And the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins yesterday, Davis, said that was their number one priority, was to make sure that he gets the ball more. But meanwhile, he has been targeted. It's just he hasn't made the catches. And in that Dolphins offense, I mean, would you expect anybody to get 40 targets in that offense right now? I don't think so. So, looking at this, what does this tell you, if anything?
Well, I actually think the Devontae Parker one is a little bit interesting because Will Fuller is now out with, I don't know if he broke a finger or if he broke part of his hand, but he is out until at least week 8. He's been placed on the designated for return injured reserve. And so, you know, I've been talking a lot about Jalen Waddle And Waddle would not score well on this disparity because he gets targeted about 3 yards away from Jacoby Brissett. I mean, Jalen Waddle targets are basically handoffs. So I think there's a little bit of room for Devontae Parker to grow. I definitely think that Stephon Diggs is one of the best buy lows in fantasy football right now because his role has not changed at all from last season. He had 7 for 144 last week, but just hasn't scored a touchdown. And we know that his role is super valuable. I mean, he was one of the three best wide receivers in fantasy football last year, but the touchdowns just have not come yet. He scores 8 touchdowns, led the NFL in receiving yards, and led the NFL in receptions last year. So if, you know, we talked about trades a little bit earlier, if you could acquire Stephon Diggs right now, I definitely think that you should do that. Same thing for Darren Waller. He, you know, great role. Now, Keenan Allen, I'm a little bit worried about this because Keenan Allen has always been a high catch rate, low average depth of target guy. And I think that now, and I'm curious your opinion on this, don't you think that with how amazing Mike Williams is playing, that Keenan Allen is going to just kind of settle in as more of a solid, you know, Jarvis Landry type guy than, you know, a fantasy stud?
Yeah, I thought that until last week. What happened with Williams last week?
I mean, they were just blowing them out the entire game, right? Like that's just what happened, where it just wasn't even necessary. I mean, they never trailed in that game. I believe they got up 21-0 before Las Vegas even scored. And weirdly enough, in that game, I thought the weirdest thing about that game was that they were playing all those different running backs. They were targeting their tight ends. They targeted Justin Jackson and Larry Roundtree. I thought that was the weirdest part of that game, but felt like probably just like a game plan type thing as opposed to like a permanent shift.
Yeah, I think Gruden said after that the main thing was stopping Williams, and he was like making fun that, yeah, we did that, we did nothing else. So maybe that was just part of it too. But yeah, Parham scored a touchdown. And I think Cook scored a touchdown, too, in the back of the end zone. I saw some Jackson catches, too, as well. Okay, so let's move over from wide receiver. Let's go to running back. This is the top yards per carry running backs in 2021. Tony Pollard leads the way. And with, like, a 20-carry minimum, I believe, is the number I got here. 6.8 yards per carry. Tyson Williams, 6.1 yards per carry. Probably doesn't make any difference. I mean, is he cuttable? I don't know. The guy just didn't even play. Chase Edmonds had one really long run last week, which bumped this up to 5.9 yards per carry. It was around 5, which is still pretty good. Austin Eckler, 5.7. Kareem Hunt, 5.4. And then maybe the number that would shock everybody this year, Davis, is that Ezekiel Elliott is at 5.4. Now, he also had a long run, which bumped him up from probably 5.1 to 5.4, but still pretty impressive, especially if you consider the first game of the season being a disaster. Dallas is running the ball like crazy.
Yeah, Dallas is running the ball like crazy, and I guess in a way, we kind of would have expected this. Probably we would not have expected it to come with such a low amount of passing attempts, but we know Dallas has always liked to hand the ball off to Zeke, and the reason why they were so pass-heavy last year was their defense was terrible. Their defense looks a lot better. The offensive line is also, I mean, they're just stonewalling people. The offensive line is, like, fully good to go when they were suffering all those offensive line injuries last year. So Zeke having a good year, Pollard having a great year. I think that Tyson being this effective, I don't know why he was a game day inactive last week. I would get, like, I don't know, you would probably maybe even be a little bit more plugged in this, but it's got to be like a disciplinary thing. Like maybe he got into an argument with one of his coaches during the week or something. But if it would be very odd for me to think that a guy who performed that much better than Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell would be a game day inactive. So I'm not cutting Tyson. I'm holding out hope for Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any hope for him, but I'm not cutting him. I don't think you can cut him. But that was a huge indictment, and I hope for our the people who own Williams that's what happened. But if not, Davis, I mean, what a huge indictment on calling up Le'Veon Bell to play over him. And I remember last week that happened like 30 minutes before the game, and I was like scrambling. I was like, wait a second, he's not playing. Wait a second, inactive? I'm like, I don't even have anybody else to play. So, you know, that, and at a later game too. So that was the dynamic that really caught me off guard. Is there any other stat that you look at, Davis, with running backs besides this? Is it just basically like on the field share? Is that more or less what you look at?
Yeah, and I like to look at I like to look at routes run for these running backs. So like that's a stat you can get from our friends over at PFF, where like yeah, you definitely want to know how many snaps a guy is playing, but you want to know if they're good snaps. Like you know, snaps on second and eight on your team's 30-yard line where you get a 4-yard carry. Like, you know, how many 4-yard carries do you have to add up to have a good fantasy game? So you like to have these high value touches. So like, you know, touches inside the 10-yard line, snaps on third down, things like that. You know, you want your running backs playing the good snaps and not those kind of empty calorie snaps.
All right. So there you have it. Well, we've got two baseball games later today, and those of you who love to play DFS baseball, you're in luck because there's essentially a two-game slate today, a four-game slate tomorrow, so we'll have a lot of choices on Friday to go through. But coming up next, we're going to take a look at the White Sox, Astros, Rays, and Boston Red Sox options, so stay on the grid for that. We've also got Fantasy or Reality and the Sports Grid 60, and as a reminder, coming up on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch me, Joe Pizzapia, and Matt Stryker on our weekend edition of Fantasy Sports Today, getting you ready for Fantasy Football Week 5. Stay on the grid. Davis and I will be back in just 2 minutes with our DFS baseball preview.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As if Davis doesn't have enough going on with football, we're going to drag him back into DFS baseball for the postseason. Going to put the DFS hat back on Davis here for about 3 weeks, and because we still have a lot of games to go here. We got four games tomorrow to dive into. I know we did a lot of this back when, April and May? I think we did June too, and just grinding it out every day in DFS, playing Ty France every day in DFS, right? So now it's time for us to talk about the postseason here. And I want to run through the pitchers here with you today. I think we'll do this. I think to make it easy, we'll do the list. We'll have you pick one that you like and just keep it simple, okay?
All right, let's do it. I'm ready to rock.
All right, so this postseason in the American League is about Lances and Shanes. Shane McClanahan, Shane Baz. Tonight it's Lance Lynn for the White Sox, 10,300 on FanDuel against the Astros of Lance McCullers of 9,600. McClanahan on Tampa is 8,800. And if you told me McClanahan was pitching six innings tonight, I'd circle him and put him in. But, I mean, you know what Kevin Cash, I mean, he walks one guy, Davis, he's out of the game. Eduardo Rodriguez of Boston is 8,400. I think that we would not use him. So you can only have one pitcher tonight to use. Who will it be?
Well, definitely the best pitcher pitching tonight is Lance Lynn, but the guy that I am going to tell people to use for game theory reasons, it's got to be Shane McClanahan. I would imagine that McClanahan and Rodriguez are going to be the lowest owned pitchers on this slate, and McCullers and Lynn are going to be the most owned. Obviously, I think they're going to go deeper. McClanahan probably, I think, has the risk of going the shortest amount. I mean, McClanahan might face eight batters in this game before they decide to pull the hook on him. But if McClanahan is dealing, and this Red Sox lineup, by the way, I know they won their wild card game, but this Red Sox lineup is not operating at full strength. They did not have JD Martinez in for their game. Now I think they'll probably have JD Martinez back for this game because he will be at DH, but he hurt his ankle. They're having to play Christian Arroyo instead of Enrique Hernandez. You know, it's just basically the Red Sox, I don't think, are at full strength. So I am going for Shane McClanahan as my starting pitcher tonight.
Yeah, if he goes five innings, you may win the slate. You know, that's the deal. You just got to somehow sneak five innings there from him. All right, now first base is a little complicated because Jose Abreu is under the weather and apparently does not have COVID, but still is a game time decision. And I'm guessing we'll know this in like the next 15 minutes because the game's starting soon. 3,700 on FanDuel. Yasmani Grandal, 2,900. Mike Zunino, 2,900. Yuli Gurriel, 2,900. Yandy Diaz is 28. Gavin Sheets is 27. And so I guess if your game theory is Tampa, you could dive down below here a little bit, Davis, and throw some batters in up against Eduardo Rodriguez. On the flip side here, the other thing with the White Sox offense is that Lance McCullers is very much boom or bust. So you could end up scoring like 3-4 runs on him real quick. And if you know anything about Dusty Baker, he does tend to leave those guys in a little bit longer. He likes those starting pitchers. And probably, I would guess, La Russa does too. What do you see with this here tonight?
Yeah, you know, I think that I want to go for Grandal here. He racked up a 402 weighted on base average, 23 home runs this year, 23% walk rate for Yasmani Grandal. I would imagine most people who are on the White Sox will be playing Abreu at that position. Probably just you're not going to see catchers at the catcher first base slot owned as much as the first baseman. So, I mean, what a season Grandal had. I mean, he really is so good at the plate. So he is going to be my guy today.
All right, at second base, we have some experience here in the postseason with Jose Altuve at 3,900. Brandon Lau, what a second half this guy had. 3,500 for Tampa Bay. Kike Hernandez is 2,800. Cesar Hernandez, 2,600. Lurie Garcia at 2,300. And then Jose Iglesias, who, you know, I don't think anybody would use him tonight. You really have to be desperate at 2,100.
Yeah, I mean, Brandon Lau got to be probably our best option here. Now, I guess the something that you might see is because that Lau bats left-handed, people do not love to do the lefty-on-lefty thing. You might see him be a little bit lower-owned than Jose Altuve, but what a season for Brandon Lau. 39 home runs, 7 stolen bases, 363 weighted on base average, 137 weighted runs created plus. I think he looks pretty strong, but Lurie Garcia also looks pretty strong as well. I guess he is a huge beneficiary of playing in the best lineup that he's ever played in because his batting average is way up. His walk rate is way up compared to his career averages. I mean, he's got to be thanking his lucky stars that he plays for the Chicago White Sox because he's having a very good season relative to his baselines.
All right. Now at third base, I mean, it seems just as simple, Davis, as playing Rafael Devers. I mean, you really would have to talk me out of that. Guy's been unbelievable. 3,800 tonight, and he's priced up here on FanDuel. Alex Bregman is 3,100. Yoan Moncada is 2,800. Yandy Diaz of the Rays, 2,800. Joey Wendell, 2,200. But I mean, regardless of how we feel about Boston, Davis, this Devers is just amazing, you know? So I don't know. I mean, do you have to find a way to play him tonight? Because I kind of feel like it doesn't matter who the pitcher is on the other side. He may be the best offensive player playing today.
Yeah, he has been phenomenal. But, you know, we got to save a little bit of cash at one of these positions. And I'm wondering if our Tampa Bay Rays third base options here, you know, Joey Wendell, who again, I know lefty on lefty, but Wendell actually had, you know, a pretty good offensive season. Bregman though, I think Bregman looking at him at 3,100, I mean, Alex Bregman did not have the year that you would expect of Alex Bregman this season. Like he wasn't, was not an MVP candidate or anything like that. You know, a 336 weighted on base average, but he is 18 months removed from a 418 weighted on base average, 41 home runs, 5 stolen bases. So I think Bregman looks like your best combination of, you know, 3-year rolling average, skill level, and price tag for this slate.
Okay, let's go to shortstop and then we'll close it out with the outfield. Xander Bogaerts, who hit the big home run the other night, he's 4,000. Tim Anderson of the White Sox, 3,600. Correa of Houston, 3,500. Wander Franco, after a really solid rookie season, is 3,400 tonight. Lurie Garcia, 23. And again, Joey Wendell, 22. He qualifies as shortstop as well.
Yeah, shortstop is, I think it's got to be Wander Franco's position. I mean, 4,000 for Xander, no thank you. 3,600 for Tim Anderson, 3,500 for Carlos Correa. I mean, this rookie season that Wander Franco had, I mean, this guy's he's not old enough to go get a beer if they win the game, right? Like, he's not old enough to go to the bar afterward. 3.48 weighted on base average, only a 12% K rate, 7 home runs, 2 stolen bases. I mean, Wander Franco, he looks like an absolute superstar. So I think I am going in on that direction, and I just like the Rays in general, because I think it'll be close between the Rays and Red Sox for who's the lowest owned stack of the slate. So I like both of them quite a bit.
Okay, and then let's close it out in the outfield. Kyle Tucker with his breakout season, 3,600 tonight. We have Randy Arozarena. I wonder if the postseason will look anything this year like it did last year, Davis. You just put Arozarena in and just don't even worry about it. Luis Robert came back and had a really nice last couple months. Brandon Lau also plays the outfield, so he's at 3,500. This is where you would play Yordan Alvarez if you chose to go that route at 3,400. And let's also not forget, Davis, about Nelson Cruz, 3,300 tonight for the Tampa Bay Rays. Also, JD Martinez is priced at 3,400. And while he is on the roster, they still haven't announced if he's going to actually play tonight. May need another day or two, so we're not sure there.
Yeah, I mean, there are, with outfield, you are always going to find yourself having a bunch of different guys to play. But I will say, playoff game, the stakes are high, right? The energy's there. Nelson Cruz, 3,300 against a left-handed starting pitcher, and not even a particularly good one at that. I mean, Eddie Rodriguez is fine. I guess he's been a lot better than I would have anticipated at the beginning of the year. But how does Nelson Cruz not hit a home run in this game? So for me, Yordan Alvarez and Nelson Cruz here. I mean, you got Yordan against Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn, very good starting pitcher. You know, no shade intended there. But, I mean, come on. It's got to be Nelson Cruz, and it's got to be Yordan Alvarez at outfield tonight.
Any chance tonight's Boston-Tampa Bay game comes close to the ratings of the Rams and Seahawks? None, right? We're just going to get crushed, right? TV ratings?
0%. Rams-Seahawks will be 4 times as watched by the American audience.
Yeah, that's just the way that works out. What's going on with soccer, by the way? Is it soccer season at all? I haven't even been paying attention. I think I saw some qualifying game going Mexico and Canada maybe or something. Is that going on?
Yeah, it's so annoying. They're doing, this is the thing that gets me about soccer is the season just stops for these random, I mean, we had the Nations League semifinal yesterday. I didn't even watch, didn't even care. And then we have World Cup qualifying for Northern American countries. But I mean, come on. I enjoy international soccer, but not when it randomly breaks into the league season. I don't love that.
All right, well, no soccer talk for us coming up. It's time for fantasy or reality. We're going to dive into some hot topics of the day. We'll ask some true or false questions, but instead of saying true or false, we say fantasy or reality. And then, of course, we have the Sports Grid 60, which will end the show here on this Thursday. On tomorrow's show, our friend Jim Sannis will be by. We'll give you the DFS preview for the upcoming NFL slate on Sunday. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll be back in just 2 minutes here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so quick note here before we get to fantasy or reality. We got a move that I got to make here in fantasy, Davis. So apparently, Brett Levy, our producer, tells us that both Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage will not play for the Falcons today, or I'm sorry, on Sunday in London, which is stunning news for the Falcons and puts them up against it. So this guy Zaccheaus, who I know that you like a little bit, is probably going to be their number one wide receiver. So I'm going to try and pick him up here and just block my opponent. I don't need him. I got Debo. I got Lamb. I got Moore. I got T. Higgins. So who can I cut here? Lindsay? Is there any reason to own Philip Lindsay?
Why would you, Craig, bro, why would you have him on your fantasy football team anyway? I mean, the Texans are terrible, and they're playing a four running back rotation. We got Rex Burkhead in there. By the way, okay, if you want to, okay, you want a galaxy brain mega mind pickup to make on your fantasy football team right now, the Patriots are having all these backfield troubles. They're playing Brandon Bolden. How much you want to bet Bill Belichick sends them a conditional seventh round pick for Rex Burkhead, brings him back into the fold there in New England? There's your galaxy brain mega mind pickup of the week.
I know, but we got to make a real pickup here. So here's the cut options. Okay, so would you cut Patterson? I'm really hesitant to cut him.
No, do not cut Cordarrelle Patterson.
Other Patterson, Washington's Patterson.
Oh, Jarrett? Not for a block, only if I thought I was going to start him. Only if I thought I was going to start him.
Okay, and then
him.
The other option is Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, I would cut Carlos Hyde. I mean, he wasn't even injured last week. He was just a straight-up healthy scratch. Urban Meyer said, see you later, bud.
All right, so Hyde or Lindsay? Pick one.
Lindsay. Lindsay got to go. No reason to own Philip Lindsay in fantasy football.
All right. Done. All right, Brett, fantasy or reality? Take it away.
All right, guys. Well, a weird story coming up in the NHL yesterday. Evander Kane allegedly may be using, I don't know, I'll use maybe a lot and allegedly a lot here, may have used a fake vaccination card and submitted it to the league. This has not been confirmed yet. The league is investigating. But since we're speculating here, Davis, we'll start with you. If proven true, the NHL should suspend Evander Kane for having a fake vaccine card. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, they should suspend him for a long time, and they should also fine him, because this is the ultimate coward move, right? Like, Kyrie Irving, say what you want about Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie Irving is coming to the media and saying, I'm not getting vaccinated. If I miss paychecks, whatever. This is super cowardly, because this is Evander Kane not even having the morals to stand up for whatever, you know, thing he believes in. This is him just trying to like shade the system. So he should for sure be suspended and for sure be fined for this. I mean, this is, if proven true, this is ridiculous. And also, I mean, how weird is it that Evander Kane is the hockey player we're end up talking about the most? Because remember that weird story about him from a couple months ago that his wife said that he was betting on games? I mean, it's starting to seem like there is some smoke where there's fire with Evander Kane being a weirdo.
Yeah, it feels like that. And listen, it's your choice, obviously, to do whatever you want, your personal choice with the whole vaccination thing. Clearly my family's all vaccinated, but everybody has their opinion on it, and I'm not going to make it political. But I think Davis pretty much nailed it there. Like, if your choice is not to do it, that's fine. You know, that's your choice. But like, you're trying to fake out the league? Like, what is wrong with this guy, man? Like, I mean, listen, Kyrie Irving is getting destroyed mercilessly. They're playing clips of his aunt talking about why he's not. It is a nightmare for him going through what he's going through. But at least he's not faking it. And if this is true, again, we don't know. And this is, as you said, the second alleged thing with this player. My gosh, this sets a horrible, horrible precedent. And the NHL, if this is true, would probably have to drop a big hammer here, because if they only suspended him for a short period of time and fined him, what's to stop other people and players around sports for doing it? So here is the first precedent being set. He's got to be suspended and fined. I mean, that's just the end. And it's got to be really long, because otherwise some other player is going to go, oh, well, this guy only got 10 games. Maybe I can do it and get the same. So reality.
All right. Our next question, we're going over to Major League Baseball. The Padres got rid of their manager from the last 2 years, Jace Tingler. After a very disappointing season in San Diego, the Mets had a very disappointing season in New York, got rid of their manager. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. Jace Tingler, who was let go yesterday, will be the last manager fired before next season. Is this a fantasy or reality?
So we're basically 5 or 6 days out of the regular season ending. And usually if a manager is going to be fired by now in baseball, they probably would have been fired from a team that has been eliminated. I say probably. That's not a guarantee. But under that assumption, that would mean that all of the teams that didn't make it, they're bringing their managers back again for next season. Terry Francona is in a weird situation because he had some health issues, and I'm not sure even what his contract status is. I have a feeling he may not be back in Cleveland. But then what we would do is we would extend this conversation now to the postseason. And so you had Aaron Boone that was knocked out. Here's the other question that would happen, and we don't expect it to happen. But Davis, if Boston swept Tampa, Kevin Cash may get fired, right? Like it's a scenario you couldn't see right now, but those things sort of emerge in the postseason where there's a huge disappointment. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen with Tampa, but to think that Tingler is the last manager fired, I don't think so. I think still, even though I think some of the teams that have been basically eliminated, I still think something else is going to happen before next season. So I'm going to say fantasy. I think someone else does. I don't think it'll be a lot, but I think one or two more.
I mean, isn't Aaron Boone going to get fired? Like after that season that the Yankees just had, like they end up losing. I mean, they make it there in the end, but it was a long and arduous journey. No Yankees fan is happy. They kind of get lucky at the end with Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo being these good additions. Stanton and Judge finally figure it out. And they just ran hot at the end in terms of the results they got. I feel like Aaron Boone probably gets fired. I don't even know who the manager of the Dodgers is, but if the Dodgers lose this series, I feel like what do the Dodgers care? Like, they just want to spend money. They just want to bring new people in. Like, the Dodgers just want to be in the headlines. The Dodgers just want to spend money. Like, that's all they really care about. And so I feel like whoever the Dodgers manager is, if they lose in the divisional round, got to have a decent chance of getting fired. And then also, I'm assuming this is including teams that are you know, not even in the postseason and still technically have not fired their manager. So not a chance. So there will be, I would probably set the line at 2.5 managers fired before the beginning of next season. So this is a fantasy for me.
Okay.
All right. Our last question, we're going over to HBO because I believe on Tuesday, maybe HBO announced that a Game of Thrones prequel is coming. So Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Game of Thrones was the best show ever on HBO. This is extremely disrespectful to my favorite show, Entourage, but we'll go with it. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Well, both of those are wrong because the best show ever on HBO was The Wire. And then Craig is going to say that even I'm wrong because Craig is going to say that the best show ever on HBO was The Sopranos, which I think those are the two options. You can either say that The Wire was the best ever or The Sopranos was the best ever. I've not watched The Sopranos. I know that that's like a leak in my life. Like the new movie came out. Seems like people really like it. Seems like people are into The Sopranos, but I have not watched the Sopranos. But so this is clearly a fantasy because The Wire, McNulty, right? I mean, come on. How is The Wire not the greatest show on HBO ever, Craig?
It's definitely up there. By the way, the Sopranos movie was terrible. The new one, it was horrible. It was as bad as anything that I've seen. It was really, really, really bad. But you have missed the best one of all on HBO. You have missed the best one of all. The best show ever on HBO, without a doubt, is Curb Your Enthusiasm, for sure. That would be the best.
Oh, show. All right. There we go. Yeah. Okay. You shocked me.
Yeah. No, that by far is my favorite show that's ever been on HBO. I, See, with Game of Thrones, it's really interesting because there are some people that swear, and you can't tell them otherwise, that this show is the best show ever. I would tell you that my second favorite show ever on HBO was Deadwood. That was my second favorite show of all time, for sure. I love Deadwood. So I would put that second. I would put Sopranos third. I would put The Wire fourth. And I would put fifth. I think I would put Game of Thrones fifth. But the problem for me with Game of Thrones, Davis, is that I did not watch Game of Thrones when it was on.
When it was on.
Yeah, 2 years ago on the show, Brett, I think you were producing here, right? 2 years ago on the show, Joe Pizzapia, this is Joe Pizzapia's favorite show of all time, Game of Thrones. You cannot tell him anything else. Like, he's one of those people that it's just, it was the best show ever, it was the best show ever, and that was it. He challenged me before the premiere of the final season to watch all of the seasons, and I did it. And I watched every episode until the final season, and then when it began, I caught up. Make no mistake about it, Davis. It's a fantastic show, without a doubt. But no, not the best show ever. But I'll be tuned in to watch the new one happen. Did you say you watched Game of Thrones or not? I didn't even catch it in that whole discussion.
So I watched Game of Thrones up until season 4 with my college girlfriend. Then we broke up. I moved. Like, you know how you're too old. You don't know this thing, but there's kind of this thing where you're watching a show that's on with someone and then you kind of just get out of it for whatever reason. And right. You can do this with roommates, your wife, whatever. But when you stop watching and the other party watches on without you, you're like, well, whatever, you know, I'll get back to it eventually. And I just never got back to it.
Yeah.
It was fine. I didn't love it as much as other people loved it. It was fine. But for me, The Wire still remains
great
the best.
Show.
You come at the king, you best not miss.
Great, great show, for sure. Brett, how about you? Brett, you want to chime in on this?
Yeah, I mean, I love, obviously, Curb Your Enthusiasm, but Vinny Chase, that's my guy. And Vinny, Ari Gold, those are my guys, Craig. That's it.
Yeah. And by the way, there would be a lot of people, by the way, of the female persuasion that would say Sex and the City was the best HBO show ever.
True.
And they would have a claim. A great show, too. Not for me, though. We'll come back and wrap it up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as we wrap it up here on this Thursday. Reminder, tomorrow's show, our full DFS preview coming up for Sunday with Jim Sannis. Here is the Sports Grid 60.
You know, one thing that we have to do during the fantasy football season is we got to evaluate, were we wrong or did we just get unlucky? You know, one guy I think maybe I might have gotten wrong, Will Fuller, right? Banged up. Dolphins offense doesn't look very good. I loved Will Fuller. Looking like I was wrong. Then, you know, on the other hand, you got a guy like Russell Gage, done absolutely nothing, injured, not playing this week. Not going to have a good season. The Falcons look terrible. And people who like drafting Russell Gage might say, oh, well, you know, you're just getting lucky that Gage isn't having this great season. He should be getting these Patterson numbers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I would say that's actually an example of getting something right because Russell Gage is, he's just not any good, right? So that very good time, month into the season, very good time, Craig, for us to analyze what did we get right, what did we get wrong, and why.
Very bold of you to take an L on Will Fuller after the dude's not going to play for like half the season. Like, yeah, I think you may be wrong on that one. Yes, They give baby away. How about your Winston? I'm still waiting for that one. Made me apologize on this show. Oh my gosh, about Jameis Winston. Could not have been more.
Just wait. About that one.
Oh, you go away. You'll be waiting for 5 years. This guy's done. So, you know, the hardest thing about reporting this time of the year for me, and it kind of hit me yesterday, is I'm reporting on people getting fired from their jobs. And it sort of feels dirty a little bit. Like yesterday I reported that the Marlins had to let go of their staff, their training staff. And it feels like I'm the one that's going to tell people in the world that people got fired. I don't know. There's just something about that doesn't feel right, and I feel bad about it. But I guess when you're in the public eye, that's part of the gig, but still just feels dirty. Apologize for that. Thanks to Connell over at LTN, huge Game of Thrones last season guy. Thank you to Spencer. I think I heard him. Thank you to Brett, Danny, and Ryan for David. I'm Craig.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming, odds,
and more.
The others? Nah.